So I heard that Cedar Point, the amusement park in Sandusky, Ohio, has opened for the season this weekend. Several years ago now, when I started serving as associate pastor at the Livonia Newburgh United Methodist Church, I worked with the youth. Each year, I would take the youth to Cedar Point. It was tons of fun. And while I am not a big roller coaster lover, I do like some of the calmer rides. And the youth would often ask me to hold their stuff while they were on the ones that go upside down. And they would often ask me to pray for them while they chose some of the more complex and scary rides. Now, I would remind them that I do not think God works this way. But they said they felt better knowing that I was praying for them. One year while I was at Cedar Point with the youth, I bought these glasses. I've kept them in my office ever since. Now, you might think they look kind of silly, but they actually remind me about the importance of having a vision. I've talked about these glasses before. I like that they're large because they also remind me that God's vision is much larger than mine. I often put these glasses on in my office to remind me to think bigger, to dream larger, and to listen more carefully for the supersized visions that God has in mind for me as one of your pastors, for this church, for our community, and for our world. Having a vision is critical for our lives, and critical for the life of the church and the life of our community. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, it says this, "Without a vision, the people perish." Without a vision, the people perish. Today, I'd like to share with you some vision for the next few years. If you have come for the first time today, just know that today is a little bit in-house as we discuss this, but you're welcome to be a part of it. 2 weeks ago in this very space, together as a church, we voted on a vision plan for Narden Park called the VCI, or Vital Church Initiative. As Christ followers and as a church community, we need to know what direction we're going in. The plan that you voted in 2 weeks ago maps out a vision, puts flesh on dreams, helps us make visible what God has called us to do as a church from now through the end of 2020. This foundation of our newly adopted vision plan is to multiply our impact, our outreach ministries, so that we can make Christ's love visible with those all around us. Like these giant glasses, this vision plan expands what we have already been doing well, building on our past, but also embracing a new future. Did you know that God loves multiplication? As I was preparing this service and sermon for today, I checked in with our coach, Brad Calajanian, who is the pastor of the Cornerstone United Methodist Church in Grand Rapids. Pastor Brad has been assigned to work with us through the end of 2020 to help us accomplish our newly adopted vision plan. And one of the main things that Brad and I talked about together is how God loves multiplication. You might have noticed the X's all around the worship service today, or the multiplication tables on the front cover of the bulletin. The X is the universal sign, symbol for multiplication. God loves multiplication. Now, how do I know this? Well, first of all, one of the very first things that God said to human beings was this: be fruitful and multiply. God did not say be fruitful and add, be fruitful and subtract, be fruitful and divide. That's from Genesis. Notice that. And when Jesus kicked off his ministry, he talked about multiplication. He looked at a bunch of first century fishermen and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Jesus then went on to say to the disciples, "I'll show you how to multiply me in the lives of others." Push the clock forward 3 years. Multiplication is still Jesus' heartbeat. Some of his very last words here on earth were these, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Multiplication. Why not addition? Why is God so into multiplication? Well, some of it has to do with urgency, because God is urgent about reaching and transforming and healing the world with the message of the love of Christ. Our son's girlfriend, Jade, is an eighth grade math teacher. She is certified to teach math from kindergarten through eighth grade, so I texted her earlier this week. I said, "Hey, Jade, I have a math question. Can you call me when you get a chance?" Well, she called me back, and we talked about my question, and I asked her this question, "Jade, what is so important about multiplication? What is so important about multiplication?" Now, she was surprised at my question because she thought I was going to ask her a numbers question. But then she gave me this very interesting answer. Here's what she said. "Multiplication is the basic tool of math." She went on to say, "Often when we begin to teach multiplication to children, usually at the end of second grade or the beginning of third grade, it kind of blows their minds because they are used to addition. Sometimes they even count on their fingers. They've grown comfortable with addition, and they usually, when we first introduce multiplication," Jade said, "the kids ask, 'Why do we need multiplication? We could just use addition.'" To show them the power of multiplication, Jade said that they asked the students to figure out the area of a large piece of carpeting. She said, "We unroll the carpet and we've blocked it all off with squares all over it. And of course, one group is assigned to figure out the area by multiplication, and the other group is assigned to do it by addition. And the group that has addition, well, it takes quite a while for them to figure out that area. And the group that does multiplication, well, they're done real quick." Jade said, "Figuring out the area of the large carpet shows the students the power of multiplication. It clearly shows the power to accomplish so much more than mere addition can." Later that evening, Jade sent me another text. She said, "Another interesting thing you might want to share in your sermon is that multiplication is not a shortcut, but rather a tool. We use it," she said, "to save time, but it is used to build time for other things." Our new vision for Narden Park is rooted in multiplication. Addition is okay, but it is too slow. There is an urgency driven by the need for people to see the visible love of Christ in their lives, in our community, and in our world. Taking our lead from the mission of Jesus, I believe that these next few years need to be times of multiplication and growth for Narden Park Church, numerically and spiritually. Jesus' mission is to save the least and the lost. As Jesus says in Luke chapter 15, verse 4, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? He will leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it." This is what Jesus does. And Jesus invites us to be this kind of a church, where we operate on the 99-to-1 principle, seeking out and saving the least and the lost. But this model of ministry assumes that we also believe in God's multiplication. Why? Because in order for this model of growth to be effective, the people of the church, you and me, must be out in the world looking for lost and hurting people 24/7, 365. And we must invite, recommend, and encourage people to join in at every chance we get. If we stick with addition, we will add a few people to the church over the next few years. That's good and wonderful. But think about this. If all of us who attend this congregation regularly added one person each next year, we would double the size and the reach. And if we continue to do that over 10 years, well, think about it. That is multiplication. When a whole church develops this kind of mentality, multiplication kicks in and whole entire communities are transformed for good. Our scripture lesson today is about Jesus and Zacchaeus, and it's another lesson in God's multiplication. The story begins when Jesus is passing through the town of Jericho, and there is this very short and very rich man named Zacchaeus, who is the chief tax collector. Now, being a tax collector in Jesus' day is kind of like being an IRS agent today. Let's just say that Zacchaeus was not well-liked or appreciated. And because Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector, it also meant that he was deeply embedded in the corrupt tax-collecting system of the Roman government. Basically, Zacchaeus made money by cheating other people, especially the poor. Think of him as a corrupt subprime mortgage lender on steroids. Mm-hmm. But with his compassionate heart and his expansive vision, Jesus saw in Zacchaeus a man who was desperate and broken on the inside. Luke writes that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. This is an important point in the story as well. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. People in your life and mine are the same way. They are much like Zacchaeus. They want to see who Jesus is, and in many situations, you and I are the only Jesus that people will ever come in contact with. Are the Zacchaeuses in your life seeing Jesus in you? Be honest. Are they seeing Jesus in you? The Bible says Zacchaeus tried to see over the crowd, but he had a problem. He couldn't see. He was short in stature, so he climbed the sycamore tree. He was hanging there trying to see who Jesus was, and he went way out on a limb. How many people are out there on a limb in our lives that you know? Someone you know is probably out there on a limb of loneliness or financial problems or going through some big change in their life right now. Whose marriage or relationship is struggling, or who is battling alcohol or gambling or other addictions? People who are out on a limb are often open to Jesus for a window of time. And so what did Jesus do? With his expansive vision, he looked right past the people who were pressing in on him. He looked right past the religious leaders, the intelligentsia of Jericho. With extreme compassion, he saw Zacchaeus out on that limb. And he said this, "Zacchaeus, jump down from that tree. I am coming to your house today." And they had their very first power lunch. Zacchaeus walked outside and his life was changed. And here's what Jesus said. "Today, salvation has come to your house because this man too is the son of Abraham, and the human one has come to seek and save what was lost." The human one, who is Jesus, has come to seek and save the lost. Like Jesus, we are called to seek and save people who have lost their way, people who are separated from God, people who are in all kinds of predicaments. How do you reach a person for Jesus? Well, first, you listen. Then you share your story. You point towards Jesus and you extend an invitation either to church or a small group or to read the Bible with you, or you invite Christ with them into their life. Like Jesus, we need to ask God for extreme insight. We need to pray, God, show me people. Show me Zacchaeuses in my life. Show me people who are out there on a limb. And when we pray those prayers, what happens? Multiplication, impact, changes in people's lives and communities. For years after church, my parents went to brunch, the same restaurant, the same table pretty much, every week, week in, week out. My mom was the financial secretary at the Chelsea United Methodist Church, and so when they finished helping the counters, they would go out for brunch. And they got talking with the waitress, and after several years of going to the same place every single Sunday, just about, they got to know her pretty well. At my dad's funeral, the waitress came for the visitation time, and I didn't know who she was, and she came up to me and said, I want to tell you a story about your dad. And then she got very teary and she said, I saw your parents every Sunday after church. They would come and they would tell me about the church and the singing and the music. And secretly, I really wanted to go to church, but I couldn't because I was working. And we got to talking and talking, and I told them about how I really wanted my kids to learn about Jesus. And so your dad pulled me aside one day after they finished paying their bill, and he said, if you're comfortable, I know you have to work on Sundays, but if you're comfortable, my wife and I would be happy to come and get your kids and take them to church for you, because we know you have to work. They had arranged it, but unfortunately my dad died. And so the waitress said to me, I'm here because I couldn't believe how amazing it was that your dad, who doesn't really even know me, would offer to take my children to church. She said, if I ever needed to understand Jesus, I just got it. I just got it. This day, that waitress belongs to the church and is raising her children and grandchildren there. Sometimes, we have to remember that it's about our relationships with one another and the ways in which we can be involved in someone's life to make a difference. Now, sometimes when we hear the phrase to save the lost, we think we're just talking about some kind of personal conversion, focusing just on saving one person's soul for heaven. And while Zacchaeus does have a conversion experience for sure, it is not in the private sense at all. Instead, Zacchaeus' salvation has personal, domestic, social, and economic dimensions as he, meeting Jesus, decides to give money back to the poor and to give four times what he owed to all the people that he cheated. His life changes, and because of that, he changes the others' lives in his household and his entire community. This is the kind of multiplication that God is about. This is maximum impact. Today is a new day for Narden Park Church. We can't operate by addition any longer. The need is too great. The gospel is too urgent. Our community needs us to make God's love visible, like Jesus did with Zacchaeus and my dad did with that waitress. We have an incredible facility here. We have property and a prominent location in our community. We have the ability to do so much more good in the world. All of us need expansive hearts to see the needs of the people around us and to begin to help to reach lost and hurting people. God is asking each of us today, what part will we play in reaching this community and this world with the love of Jesus? Amen.